Well, that's interesting. Let me
Well, that's
get
what
this.
confused me yesterday was the phone call.
No, I don't know what happened, but it looks like Winamp is closed. We are live on the air. I just wanted to let you know about that. I was trying to look across. There it is. And I don't know why it's closed. It was there just a minute ago. Okay, here, we'll kick it in.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus War Deal equals the event. James Fetzer, David Scorpio, Giuseppe Battangelo. History is made. And now, the event.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Come as you are indeed. Hey, this is Mitch sitting in for Jim Fetzer. And we have Captain Fred come in from the fifth dimension to sit in for Giuseppe and the rest of the crew. That's right. Studio A and Studio B are the same. Mitzi, she's in the chat room. Where should we start? Giuseppe.
Giuseppe today?
No, Giuseppe is on a wellness vacation. Yes, he wants to work on some of his music. He needs to take some time off and decompress. So Blackbird 9 is going to sit in for Giuseppe. However, I don't think the communications that anyway, he's sitting in on the Wisdom Circle. But the not sure if he's going to be sitting in on this show. He's going to make some time for next week. So we'll have Blackbird, or I'll have Blackbird here next week. Hopefully Jim will be back by then. I just want to let everybody know that Dr. James Fetzer is, well, very sick. He has a severe cold or flu. You know, he has COVID. So Dr. Fetzer, I guess, got hit over the weekend with COVID. And he is, he's at home resting now. Evidently, he's having severe health problems from it. I guess, well, if you're hospitalized twice, yeah, that's pretty damn severe. Once, I think, for shortness of breath, and once they took him in an ambulance. So,
isn't shortness of breath one of the symptoms of the throw off protein caused by the vaccine?
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, Fred. I had the COVID last year, and it kicked my ass. I know the symptoms that I had, and I had shortness of breath. And now Jim is 82 years old, too, so that's working really against him. He is fairly healthy. He says he has the shakes and, he's fever and, you know, all of the flu symptoms, but it's, kicking his ass the same way it kicked mine, in all honesty. It's a severe flu and it's man-made and they really don't know where it's going from here. And I think that's the major problem that establishment has, that China is worried and everybody else is so worried because they created it in a lab and it never went through an evolutionary process. So they really don't know where it's going to go. Before I get too far down here and into the show, Fred, I want to tell everybody, hey, you want to send Jim a card, a message in the mail. I have his address here. I'm going to give it out in a second. If y'all want to send Jim a get well card or a message or a note, God bless you. And I know I am. Jim Fetzer, F-E-T-Z-E-R, his address is 800 Violet Lane. Like the flower, V-I-O-L-E-T, Lane. That's in Oregon, Wisconsin. 53575 is the zip code. If anybody has any questions or anything, just shoot me a message somewhere along the line in the chat room or somewhere else. I don't know what treatments Jim is getting. I do know that... he's now at home as of late last night.
Well, that's good.
So, Go ahead, Fred.
I was just saying it's good that he's home from the hospital. The hospital has a tendency not to let its victims out.
Yes. I really think with COVID, more medical mistakes have killed people than any cause, you know, since... they were number two or number three, was a number three killer, I think, of humans, of people, were medical mistakes here in the United States. I believe with COVID, that probably escalated. That probably became higher at a higher rate than what it normally would.
COVID is more of a medical aggression, is what I think. It's not really a disease, it's an aggression.
Well, about the end of February of last year, I got sick. I had a very severe chest cold right when the COVID was in its infancy, kind of just coming to the United States in January. It was a month later. What really hit me was my lungs had got so congested with this crap. It was, you know, when you think of rubber cement in a bottle, it's more like, you know, rubbery glue. And I'll tell you, the stuff that was coming out of my lungs was thicker than that. And I use a CPAP machine at night to sleep because I have sleep apnea. And it was a real issue keeping my lungs from getting congested. I would breathe in as deep as I could. I'd take the biggest, deepest breath as I could, and my chest never moved up, Fred.
Did you use expectorant or some way to clear that out?
Well, I really didn't. I didn't go to the VA to the VA hospital until 3 weeks later. By that time, it had turned into bronchitis, more of an irritation of my lung cavity. I have my CPAP machine, so I turned the moisture function on it up to the maximum allowed, which is 8. And I would put anywhere from a pint to a quart of water in my lungs every night with that. I mean, that sounds crazy, but I think it kept me from getting dehydrated, and I think it kept my lungs from, you know, becoming, well, clogged with phlegm.
Well, you know, that's kind of part of what I was trying to do yesterday on my show, but somehow my Skype was totally destroyed. The show's totally apart. But my guest makes a pine needle hydrosol. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've looked at natural expectorants, but pine needle tea is one of the best things that you can use for lung issues. And I don't know if you've tried something like that, but there's a lot of real natural ways to clear this infection out. And on the chat right now, there are a lot of people.
Oregano oil.
Oh, yeah. Oregano oil, homemade quinine. And I've got to try that for my martinis.
I know. Now, I take myself. I take 4,000 units, I think it is. Yeah, 4,000 units of vitamin D every day as a supplement. And when I was in the deep part of this flu that I had, I jumped it to 8,000 units a day. And it's vitamin D3, so it's a little more efficient than the straight vitamin D, but
There was another post that had the flu at the beginning of last year, and she's not on anymore. It was Karen or the Ninja Social
Karen,
Ninja.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had the flu really bad too, and she was on daily while she was fighting that disease. And she really, she just said it was the worst that she ever had. But, you know, I can't think back of any time that I've had the flu or a terrible cold that I didn't think that it was the worst that I ever had.
I understand what you're saying.
But that's not to take anything away from your suffering. I know that you suffered for 6 months.
Yeah. Because I kept talking about it on the air it sucked because it was the 2020 election and I wanted to go out and get signatures for ballot petition to get my name on the ballot. And, you know, getting sick every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks, basically from March on through September, I lost a really great opportunity to get on the ballot in 2020 because I had actually led a lawsuit against the state of Virginia to reduce the number of signatures needed to get on the ballot. And I got it reduced by 2/3 and or a lot more than 2/3, I should say. And I still, you know, between getting sick and then recovering and I myself being extra precautious because of COVID. And not only that, but it was so a physically exhausting disease. You know, I was never tested for COVID. I was tested for influenza B, but I was never tested for COVID. Even when I went back a third or fourth time when I had another upper respiratory infection, but the symptoms were of a normal upper respiratory infection and not of COVID. So, it's nothing more frustrating than going to the doctors or the hospital to go to the emergency room, and they don't let you even on the grounds hardly, except to tell you to go home and quarantine for 2 weeks.
Hey, well, you know, you carried on the whole time you were sick, and I have to thank you for that because we all had a terrible 2020, and you stayed and were like the anchor to the reality that a lot of us have that listen to Revolution Radio. So I want to give you my hats off for that. Thank you, Mitch.
Thanks. It was an adventure. And I really think that if I didn't think for myself outside the box, if I would have counted on the medical system itself to, you know, to analyze, to, you know, think through all this stuff, that they would have gave me some treatment that probably could have killed me. It's unfortunate, but that's how the medical system is working today.
I used to have a doctor years ago, and this doctor, I don't think he was a doctor. I think he was something like a DO, but he was from South America, and if you went, and the reason why I went to him because he took cash and he was cheap. But when you walked into his office, you go into the examination room, and there would be a serving tray full of needles filled with antibiotics or probably penicillin, and that was his standard treatment for everything. He'd give you a shot of penicillin and pat you on the butt and send you home. But I think that's kind of what happens with the medical organization. They get into a routine of how they treat illnesses, and I think COVID is a big money maker for them right now. If I was in the pharmaceutical industry, I'd be tickled pink with the profits that we're having right now. The government is printing money and giving it to the pharmaceutical companies. So I don't think things are going to change as long as we continue to listen to the pharmaceutical media, the people that promote whatever is going on right now.
Yeah, we definitely just have to say no. And, you know, this is one of the things about when an employer, to me, this is my opinion, when an employer tells me you mandate, you know, even a drug test, in all honesty, I smoke weed like a freight train, and I would never pass a piss test. And I would tell employers, well, yeah, I smoke marijuana. And, you know, usually that was, you know, the end of the interview. And, I laugh because, you know, they have so many people that I don't know. They're such shitty employees to me. They don't worry about the company. They just go in, they do their work, they go to hell home. And, you know, it's a person that has to think independent is the person that ends up surviving and thriving. Many people think that because, well, you know, I'm going on, I'm getting my bills paid, I'm doing this, you know, I'm going to work at this job for 20 years and then retire. That's God, that's such in the box thinking that, you know, you're just wrapped up like a little Christmas present for whoever wants to unwrap you and push your buttons. It's
I don't want to think anymore.
Slavery? It's mental slavery?
Well, if you can just slide into the alpha state and get your mind set so you don't really have to think, it's a lot easier to live that way. Contemplating what you are doing takes time. If you have a job that you don't have to think, what makes you think people are going to go home and think, especially if they can turn the television on? I think I might have lost you there, Mitch. Does anybody in the chat room hear me?
If you live in a qualified zip code.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. When did I do that? Here we go.
You gotta wake up to a world that's real. You gotta rise up and make it feel. Life in full measure is more than just pleasure. Wake up and live.
And if you're not aware, that's the show, that's the introduction for Sunday morning's church Reveille show with Michael J. And whenever I listen to that song, it sets my mind on fire. It creates adrenaline and thought process inside of my brain. I can hear it playing. Most people don't understand that how should I say it? They don't quite understand that their brain is connected to everything. Like that, you know, that the Trump-Russia collusion, the hate Democrats, the hate whitey, the hate blacks, all of that stuff, it's embedded in our brains. And when we hear a stimuli from the outside, it activates part of our brain. And it's kind of amazing that people never hear it. Yeah, it's crazy. Sorry if I think I muted myself there for a second, Fred.
That's all right. I was so confused after what happened yesterday with Skype. I don't know what to blame when something goes wrong.
Yeah, no, well, I take credit for that. And I looked down in my, I had a red light on my mic here where I manually turn it off and on. And as Comet has said in the chat room, all this stuff, all of these songs and stuff, they have frequencies that are positive, you know, there's negative frequencies, and we pick up on that.
Absolutely. Mitzi was talking about that earlier today too. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a genetic memory. Mark Twain called it mental telegraphy, and he thought that ideas, things came from far away sometimes, from people far away, or people that we don't know, or people in the past. He was really into to that genetic communication.
Yeah. It's a crazy, crazy world. We're almost here on the bottom of an hour break here. After here, I will change a gear and maybe we'll talk about probably the most talked about topic around today, Afghanistan. Yeah, I mean, that is a real shit show. And all the money and everything that we've essentially, the blood and lives of our soldiers to the trillion plus dollars that we've spent there. It's
a joke. You know, you're close to my age, but I remember when the United States pulled out of Vietnam. I was in Oahu when they brought the first flights of Vietnamese refugees, and they put them all over the place. It was amazing. That was a staging area for bringing the Vietnamese into the United States. These wow. people.
That, hold that break. We got to hold that thought. We got to break.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. This is The Event. No, you're not mistaken. This is Mitch, the producer. Giuseppe is on a vacation trying to get his health rejuvenated and get it back. And Dr. James Fetzer is, well, sick. Unfortunately, Jim came down with COVID, and he is not doing real well. He's been in and out of the hospital twice. If you get a chance, send Jim a get well card or a message at his home address. That's 800 Violet Lane, Oregon, Wisconsin, 53575. And that's 800 Violet Lane, Oregon, Wisconsin, 53575. And if you have any questions, just shoot me an email or a message somewhere along the line on any of my social media sites or something, and I'll shoot it to you or give it to you again. So remember, ladies and gentlemen, we are all human, and we are all frail one time or another. I like to say, tell everybody, I'll open up the call-in lines. Anybody wants to call in, give us a call. 540-352-4452. This is The Event with Mitch and Captain Fred. Hey, Fred, so continue where you were at there right before the break route interrupted us.
Well, I was just relating the similarities between the Vietnam, the end of our involvement in Vietnam to the end of our involvement in Afghanistan. And when we decided to get out of Vietnam, I think it was because of public pressure that brought that on. I don't know exactly why they've decided at this time to take the troops out of Afghanistan, but the one thing that's missing is the opposition to these wars. I mean, this was somehow they figured this out during Vietnam, that we had to have a good motive to destroy a country. And so 9/11 was the perfect Pearl Harbor for our generation, I think.
Yeah, it kind of was. What we know and what we see, the parallels are very similar to what happened in Vietnam and what happened in Afghanistan. As far as I'm concerned, there was a little opposition to Afghanistan, but not near as much, just because of this the propaganda put out by the U.S. government that Afghanistan essentially was one of those that attacked us. And, the truth is it was a soft target, and they wanted to go after it. They didn't want to go after Saudi Arabia. They didn't want to destroy the real group between Saudi Arabia and our own intelligence failures, our own CIA. And I think I said earlier on my morning show that, if they really wanted to get the people who pulled off 9/11, they should just arrest everybody that's a member of the Project for a New American Century, that those neocons and neoliberals that belong to that group they should be arrested, because they essentially begged for something like that to happen.
But there was no dissension during the Afghan war.
No.
During the Vietnam War, there were protests. The FBI spent a lot of time taking my picture, I know. But during the Afghan war, it wasn't really covered on the news other than skirmishes in different places. And I know that there were they're only claiming, 2,500 American combatants were killed in the Afghan war. But I think that's a little low, don't you?
That's such crap. Yeah. You know, we don't fight our own wars. We have some troops that go into combat, but I think the facts are that we hire so many mercenaries and private contractors today that we've taken half or more of our soldiers essentially off the battlefield and replaced them with high-priced mercenaries. You know, this it is true. It's 100% true that the Democrats embraced and own Afghanistan when essentially many supposed Democrats were against the Vietnam. But not until, you know, the mass protests started. One of the things, too, with Vietnam was the military had lied to the people here in the United States, just as they lied about Afghanistan. Said, we're winning, we're doing this, we have this body count, we're la-di-da-di-da, we're, you know. And then the Tet Offensive hit. And it was the evidence that the military and the generals were lying. Just as the military and the generals lied about Afghanistan.
So. I don't know. They lied. They just didn't report it. I had friends and acquaintances that would come in and show me, let's say, films of what they were doing in Afghanistan. And most of the and one in particular was operating a one of the balloons that operates using all the new surveillance. It's capable of surveilling a 5-mile radius. And he was in a firebase that was 40 miles from the nearest landing field. And he stayed there for, I think, something like 6 or 8 weeks on and 6 or 8 weeks off, or 2 or 3 weeks off. I can't remember. But they were over there operating inside Afghanistan, using technology that is kind of like 1984. I mean, he was imaging people that supposedly came from meetings of the now leader of the country, Taliban. But,
right.
But they, you know, we carried on a clandestine war against a country, and we didn't really know why. I mean, do we know why now?
Well, it was supposed, you know, it was those supposed guys from that flew those airplanes into those two towers, and it's just a load of bunk. You know, also, you know, the Golden Triangle, and we know the government and the military seem to start these wars wherever they can make a lot of money in the drug market. You know, whether it's, you know, Nicaragua and Honduras with Iran-Contra and such, and you know, Vietnam, you know, with all the heroin, the body bags, and now Afghanistan.
That's a little glamorous, I think. I think some of the real reasons are industrial. I believe that Afghanistan probably has some of the largest deposits of lithium in the world, doesn't it?
It won't matter.
It won't matter.
Lithium is history. Lithium is out the window. New technology using hemp fibers made into graphene type sheets have been found to be a thousandth of the cost and are actually more efficient to make a battery with today. I sent that into your Skype there, if you can see it. I don't know if you can.
But a
team of American and Canadian researchers developed a battery that could be used in cars and power tools using hemp bast-based fibers. The inner bark of the plant usually ends up in the landfill or someplace. What they were able to do was cook the woody pulp and then process it into carbon nano sheets. And they built super capacitors on par with or better than graphene.
So we were in Afghanistan for the Kush, right?
No, for the smack. We were there for the smack, man. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, you do know when here's a footnote for Afghanistan, okay? The United States repaired and fixed irrigation equipment that had been destroyed by the Taliban. And this irrigation equipment, they were able to add more than 50,000 hectares of farmland, of irrigated farmland to the nation's agricultural base. On a sad note, 40,000, I think, of those hectares were used to plant poppies.
I'm not surprised.
Back
a few years ago, when they first started working on hemp development, there was a university I heard about contracting a container full of hemp seed from Afghanistan and to bring hemp back into the United States.
That's good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We could have been there for a lot of reasons, but the truth is that while this was going on, 20 years of this, we've went through how many presidents now? All of them were compromised.
All of them weren't worth about as much as tits on a boar hog. I mean, whether it was son of a Bush, the first rapist. The first rapist was right before Afghanistan. And of course, Georgie Bush, son of a Bush, and then Traitor 44 for 8 years, and then 4 years of Trumpster. So, yeah.
After Trump, it's pretty obvious that all of these presidents have been placed in position. Mm-hmm. It brings me back to the McCain Obama election. That was so set up, it was ridiculous. I mean,
after 8 years of Bush, and then this 800 million or 800 billion stimulus shakedown that turned out to be what, 32 trillion backdoor by the Fed. They could elected a libertarian if they'd have put him on a Democrat ballot. They could have elected a piece of dog poo that was polished. Oh, never mind. They did. Okay. I used to laugh because my sister, she's hardcore Republican. And me, I'm this independent. I flip-flop. I go around all over the place, and now I'll never vote Democrat or Republican. And I said, I didn't vote for Trump, and I won't vote for Trump if he runs as a Republican. Period. End of story. But I told my sister, I said, "No, sis, look at me with a straight face. Are you going to tell me?" She looked at me, "You know Obama's lying. You know Obama's lying." I said, "Yeah, I know Obama's lying. Are you going to look at me with a straight face and tell me that McCain's not lying?"
McCain got a real plant, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, McStain. Well, like I said, they get you coming and going. It's the sting, you know.
McCain, no name. They called him no name because they didn't like to mention his name. Was that Trump that said that, or no? Maybe it was Q that said that.
But I don't know. I looked at Q. You know, I watched the information that Q puts out. But in the end, if you watched and you paid attention, the Q led people down a dead end and piled them all up like at the end of a dead end road, all running into the same barrier. And I think they believe that they could cause a the riots the same way that the liberals rioted after Fentanyl Floyd died. I think the deep state actually thought that they could get the patriots to go violent, and then that would allow the state to come in and clean their clocks and clean house.
Do you think Q was just part of the narrative that they keep everybody?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's what do they call that? It's a controlled opposition.
Right.
Yeah. 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 It's the same way when all the Hillary Clinton's emails, and they were trying to get everybody to claim that China was involved with Hillary Clinton's emails. Okay. And China was not involved with Hillary Clinton's emails. And the IT guy created a Gmail address that was similar to a company that was in China, but it was a Gmail address, and he used it as a dead email box, and then would copy paste all of the emails over to the backup server of Platte River. And the media put out this false trail of evidence, and the FBI kind of nibbled at it and to give it credence, and it was a dead end plank. I always tell Q, you know, what are the letters on each side of Q? P and R. Okay, Q is basically controlled opposition public relations. I really believe that from everything that I've seen, particularly now when you look at the January 6th, the false flag at the Capitol, the false flag riot, a lot of people duped, a lot of people playing, PSYOP bit roles, you know, where, you know, you get the cattle to attack each other, you know, basically one of the George Orwell's, lines of thought. You have the citizens attack each other. And, you know, to get that to go, you have to create that, just like you have to create it with critical race theory and other types of PSYOPs that the government runs.
Well, the narrative was in place. Q was part of the narrative. The opposition was part of the narrative. I think that the people that went to Washington, D.C. on January 6th were just extras for the play. I mean, they were willing participants in the narrative. And it was only a few people that probably understood what was going on there.
Agreed.
And they're still taking advantage of that whole PSYOP, that whole January 6th, 9/11 kind of event. I mean, they're taking advantage of people's they're taking advantage of the entertainment value of all this weird narrative that is put together. If they tell us what they want to think about all the time, it's just like mm-hmm. we were discussing Afghanistan. Absolutely. They never told us anything about Afghanistan. We didn't see lives in Afghanistan changed or all we ever heard about Afghanistan was the combat areas, the people that were serving there. We didn't see anything about Afghanistan. We didn't see anything about Vietnam when it was going on.
It was kind of, you know, they use these things as kind of a sideshow. And whenever they need to wag the dog, they bring them out. And it's just part of this, the way government has learned and has the ability to control people, control thoughts, control events.
Is it
to manage events, particularly after the case?
Go ahead. I think that Surrey Sunflower called it global corporate fascism is what it is. I mean, yeah. Governments are owned by the corporations now, if that's not obvious. The pharmaceutical, the media, and the banks.
And they definitely are. And what they do is they use those organizations to manufacture compliance and, you know, to have people think that it's, you know, they're doing stuff in their own best interests when in fact they're just making themselves more dependent and more centralized. It truly is, well, crazy.
They've learned to weaponize language. They, when they want a particular result, they change the language so that we start communicating. Rather than flu, we call it COVID now. And that's going to probably go on for a long time, if not forever.
Well, I don't.
I hope not.
You know, I laugh because when I go to the VA hospital, I haven't been there for a little while because I've lost a lot of faith and confidence in their ability to treat people and to think independently instead of just continually follow a dictate from some higher up. And, you know, this is the same kind of bureaucratic takeover that happened at the VA years ago that took years to fix because veterans were dying in the parking lot. They were dying on lists waiting to get appointments. You know, but what we're seeing is this inherent of systemic bureaucracy come back in and effectively destroy the quality of medicine and the quality of services. And you know, I go to the VA and I look at all of them, from the people out front taking your temperature there and the guards, and, you know, I look at all of them and said, I'm not the one with mass paranoia and mental illness. I know you are. And they just kind of look at me, and I just tell them, I said, 2 years ago, or, you know, before COVID, if I'd have told you that all this was going to be the protocol, you'd have looked at me and told me I was stupid. I was crazy. You said, go over there and see the psych. If I'd have said, they will forget that natural immunity lives, that that's the best immunity that you can essentially get. And not this program from Gates and these other scientists who want to program your biological systems with some type of prion. It's crazy, Fred. It's crazy. Well,
you don't believe that COVID will last, but how's this narrative of COVID going to play out? I mean, I can't picture how everybody that is the little petty tyrant in the supermarket forcing people to wear a mask going to change. I think that these people that have been shot up are mental zombies. I mean, they have bought the whole pass, the ticket, and they're waiting for their turn on the ride.
Yeah, that's I think so many people have so much of their this idea of their personal security involved in everybody else's security that they have lost the idea of individual liberty. I think that's, you know, this is one of the things that I think is a symptom of what they're pushing, is that we're giving up our individual liberties for the greater good. However, that is just another attack on the individual liberties that we have. And you're supposed to give it up.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hmm. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry, Fred. Somehow we all got disconnected. I don't know what happened. Studio kicked out on us. I'll have to check the backside of the studio.
Hello again, everybody.
Hey, there he is. You made it back. I don't know what happened. Seemed like our studio kicked out.
They weren't happy with what we said.
I was looking at the I was looking because I know I forgot to share audio on A, but again, so we got that going. But I don't know how we got kicked off of B. That's what I'm trying to figure out. But that's okay. We're here now, putting out the truth.
Why do they just ban these drugs? Why don't they just ban them? They did them in 1976 for the swine flu thing when Ford was president. And I remember that.
Yeah, okay. Looks like we're good on B. So, okay, so we're good streaming all around again. Yeah, I was laughing because yesterday morning, when Studio A hung up on me, it was right at about within a minute of 9/11. I can't say why. I don't know what happened. All I know is that Studio A yesterday magically restarted, and the passwords I didn't bother. I went over. We went to Plan B, Studio B, and continued on my morning show. But it's crazy, and I don't know why. Maybe it was my internet that dropped out. I can't say. But we're back. What do you guys think?
Is that a question?
Oh, well, that's an open-ended question. Hey, do you think they'll be flying the rainbow flag over there in Afghanistan?
I think we'll be flying the Google flag in Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Where was it? Oh, God, am I dumping out again? Where was the, it was in Jamalabad. I think it was the town of Jamalabad. And the people were protesting against the Taliban taking over. And it was hundreds of them. And they jammed the streets. And somewhere along the line, they took down a flag that a Taliban flag that they'd put up in the town square. And it was a mostly peaceful response to the protests, with they only killed two people and wounded 11. I think it was 11, might have been one or two, but two people were killed, in a mostly peaceful violent by those what do they say? What CNN say? Mostly peaceful Afghanistan, Taliban. Is that what they said? I forget.
Peaceful Lollapalooza to me.
Mostly friendly. I think it was friendly. It was on CNN. I mean, it was like, what the hell is the matter with these people? they're nuts. Oh, my God. The fentanyl Floyd riots that were, what'd they say? They were mostly mostly peaceful protests, while the stores are burning to hell in the background. Doesn't come out.
It's like Building 7.
Building 7. Hey, not those odd inconvenient facts again. Those twin towers, they could just come down just like that in their own footprint. But Building 7, no way. I'm sorry. It's crazy.
How can people get so infrenzied by the bullshit that goes on the media and ignore some of the most wonderful things that are going on in our country right now, like the decriminalization of marijuana in so many states? How many people's lives over the last 85 years have been put in the shitter because Because
I sold some weed.
Yeah, because you okay.
Hey, man, you're over the target. You're dropping bombs.
I'm saying, I mean, you know, this is a natural substance that's been used for.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's a long time. Yeah.
And over the 80 years, pharmaceutical has taken us to the point now where they're mandating us to inject ourselves with a experimental something. I don't even know. And yet there's no discussion about the $17.5 billion in marijuana that was sold last year.
Wow.
COVID.
I'll take the extra pennies. I just want the extra half cents on all those transactions. You know, I'll take the third of a penny on those transactions. No, Fred, you're absolutely right. You know, my life was turned upside down, sideways, and screwed because I was arrested for selling marijuana in 1981. And, you know, wasn't but 4 or 5 years, was within the last 7 years, I was stopped by a cop at a road check, and they're, hey, what's that? Oh, man, you got to pull over there and park. Yeah, we got to search your car. Oh, wait, we got to wait for a drug dog because you got arrested for selling weed one time. 35 years later, these dickheads are still pulling me over.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
That's so sad. That's so sad. But that's not being reported on CNN or any of these monks that are trying to help people to get a vaccine or whatever it is. Not a vaccine, an experimental.
Yeah. They're,
you know, I just don't.
Well, you know, we went from, you know, 2 weeks to bend the curve, and then, you know, and we went to, you know, we wear a mask, and now it's, you can't have your job unless you take the vax. I mean, it's, they went from really, you know, 2 weeks to bend the curve to where we're at today is, if you don't take the jab, you don't got a job.
Well, see, that's the difference between 9/11 and COVID. 9/11, we all were convinced that there was an evil cabal that were going to come down, hunt us down in our country and kill us if we didn't invade Iraq and invade Afghanistan and give them lots of money.
A lot of people believe that. I used to laugh. I used to laugh because I kept getting banned again and again and again, even in, you know, 2001, 2002, 2003, you know, lead up to all of the security police state. And, you know, I was on ABC. ABC News. That was one of my hangouts where I went, and I would just battle with the libertards day in and day out, and I loved it, and I honed a lot of our skills and argumentative in winning and getting arguments across. But the truth is that you eventually get censored, and you aren't allowed back on a platform. And today, see, that's, you know, this is some of the most dangerous times that we are living in, because, you know, without free speech, the propaganda wins. You know, with censorship model that we have today on social media, the propaganda is, you know, twice as effective. Because it's essentially, you know, you've got something or entities that are labeling it the absolute truth. I had a post that was limited on Facebook the other day about a study out of India using ivermectin, where they reduced the mortality rate or the people hospitalized. I think it was mortality rate, like 95%. And Facebook said, "Oh, well, that's misinformation." You know, you want to reach through a computer and you want to wrap your hands around somebody's neck and punch them in the face and said, there's your disinformation, you mother, you know. and then I have to smoke another hit off my pipe to calm myself down. But yeah.
No, that could be one of the reasons why they continue to keep marijuana under control, because it does change perspective. It changes your the correlation that you have with the realities. I mean, sometimes it just takes that little bit of difference of with the way that you see things to be able to illuminate where we truly are. I mean, if everybody.
Well, one thing I know it does, Fred, is it enables me to keep the rage tamped down, and I can instead of, you know, going to that subconscious, uncontrollable subconscious rage, it helps keep you focused in the conscious realm, and you can fight that subconscious programming. I think that's one of the biggest things that I see that it does. Go ahead.
Terrence McKenna said that psychedelics triangulate consciousness. In other words, it gives you another conscious point to observe your life in. And, you know, it's not saying that that's going to change you or anything, but mm-hmm. when the media is focused on mind control, and don't anybody, I believe nobody thinks otherwise, that the media is about mind control. And it's what the psychologists call a kind of total theater. And they create their whole artifice by false charges, fabricated news, and they convince people that these things are real. And as long as we're involved in the narrative and stay focused on the negative, that's might be what psychedelics do. It takes the focus off this false narrative. Maybe, I don't know. I know that. Most of the people that smoke weed are not so involved in the COVID thing. Do you? I mean, I've noticed that most of the people that are engaged in using psychedelics like marijuana don't particularly get themselves involved in this whole narrative because they've been lied to for so much. Am I wrong? Do you know anybody that smokes weed that's COVID positive or positive about COVID?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, my cousin. She is, she has some extraordinary health circumstances. But she is all aboard with all the vaccines and the social distancing and the masking, the mandated masking and all those other things. And we argue about it. I won't lie. We've argued about it, and I'm sure we'll argue about it in the future. But I just really think that people are under misconceptions. They're under these ideas that, for example, COVID has this super high 30% mortality rate. I would be willing to bet if you went out and took a survey, stood in front of a place and asked people 6 or 8 basic questions about COVID, you know, what they think isn't true most of the time. What they think about wearing their mask and how effective it is, or wearing, or the, you know, where COVID came from, or how it is mostly spread. I mean, and how people are actually test positive, or even the fact that people die with COVID and not of COVID. And there's really no other metric, death metric, put out there. It's just they're with COVID. And, or, you know, it's a slim of something else. You know, it's crazy. But yeah, she bless her heart. She had her foot amputated not too long ago, and she's walking, I think, learning to walk again.
Diabetes or?
Oh, hell. They believed it was, originally they believed it was, Lyme disease, I think. And I don't know if they, it was one of those cases where the Lyme disease wasn't cured the first time or whatever, but whatever happened, it really attacked her body and triggered her to have like rheumatoid arthritis and, you know, her bones and her foot and I guess her hand, one hand is, you know, kind of turning on its own. And it's
whatever happened to MRSA?
What's that?
Whatever happened to MRSA? MRSA used to be the undefeatable disease of choice for a few years there. I mean,
It still is. It's just, see, they named it community CMRS, CMRSA now. It's community MRSA, which means it's just around in the community like the flu. And once in a while, you pick it up. A lot of times, it's... you don't hear about it, I think, because it's so common, if that makes any sense. It's not the abnormal thing anymore. So
MRSA isn't as profitable as it used to be, I don't think. I think pharmaceutical companies like the indemnity of building a vaccine and selling it for $100 a pop and getting the government to pay them for it. Not only that, but the media is promoting the sale of their product. It would be, I don't know. I just think that most of all this happening right now is based in making money for the pharmaceutical companies. The media is owned by the pharmaceutical companies. If you don't believe it, turn on the evening news and see who sponsors the news. It's pharmaceutical companies and the loan companies and the banks. But the media...
Well, it all funnels up to a very few at the top. I mean, in all honesty, whether it's the Bank of International Settlements, you know, or the Rothschild banksters, or, you know, the eight, 600 families that pretty much control 80% of everything on the planet, something like that. It's some absurd, you know, reality. Hey, we get into a break here in about 45 seconds. Why don't you take us to the break?
Oh, well, you know, Missy just posted that MRSA Natural Remedies, lots of high-quality probiotics, cod liver oil, natural antibiotics like Golden Seal, Echinacea, Chinese meds. Yeah, there's other things that we can do. We don't have to have vaccines for everything. I guess.
No, you're right. Yeah. We have natural remedies out there. Just like they found that the fibers in the hemp plant can be used in carbon sheets and used and made superconductors for batteries, as efficient or more efficient than lithium, which I think is pretty damn amazing if you ask me.
Message. Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Mitch and Fred sitting in for Jim, Giuseppe, and Scorpio. Okay. So come on down, join us at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Call in at 540-352-4452. That, and Mitzi, I gave you a number there in chat. So come on and give us a call. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, you know, I was just reading Mitzi's post. She says laughter's essential too. And, you know, Mitch, that's one of the reasons why you have such a great following with your show in the morning is that, man, you really don't hold back. And it's sometimes it's so funny because you can. I'm serious. Everybody enjoys it so much. And part of what happens to you is you get so enraged by some of this bullshit that...
Well, it's enraging, isn't it? I mean, cripe.
Well, yeah, but the great thing that you do is that you give it just enough humor to where it really becomes... it really hits home. I mean, it really does. You do such a wonderful job. I want to applaud you for that, and I'm always in awe of the way you can produce a show every day. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of info to get through. Hey, Sal, how you doing? Sal, you
there
with
we
us?
Go. I got yeah. you off mute. About that, I just used to muting as soon as I get through. That way, you don't hear me doing whatever stupid stuff I'm doing before I'm saying my stupid stuff to you guys.
All right. So, what you got?
So, Blackbird, how you, man?
I don't think Blackbird's here. It's just me.
No, Blackbird's not here. He's going to be here next Wednesday. No, he's going to be here next Wednesday. He's going to co-host with me. So,
by the way, thanks for letting us know what's going on with the set.
Yeah,
thanks for letting us know what's going on with Jim. You know, and it's like, uh-oh, he didn't post anything today. Ah, crap, something's wrong.
Yeah, that stuff can that tough flu can kick your ass. I saw a note
here's
here.
Here's another thing. This really breaks Sal's heart a little bit, but I need to bring this up. Everybody in Jim's life has got the shots. Everybody. He's like the only one of all the people he directly associates with that doesn't. So, you know, he's got some other health conditions so that you or I don't have, luckily. And I think he does a pretty damn good job with everything. So he'll probably be back at it before the end of the week the way he is.
I love Jim when he loses.
And God bless.
Jim sometimes can just wield the words like nobody else sometimes. I hope he does get back soon, because I think there's a lot that he can bring out of this. I do, too, believe that shedding is a real issue. I think that people that are around people that have had the vaccine are subject to whatever proteins are being produced there by their bodies and shedded. I believe that. I don't know if there's any reports coming around on the TV about it. But
have you guys heard anything about whether you'll have issues if you're not vaccinated and you're having sex with someone who is?
I haven't heard that, but it would be logical that if a person that is vaxxed is shedding, I would imagine it wouldn't be male or female. When you're intimate with them, you would be close enough to shed to one or the other.
Right, I see.
But
see, what I started doing is I started taking vegan vitamins, because I was trying to take vitamin D3, but it's made with lanolin. Apparently I'm allergic to it. I think it's from sheep or something. I don't even know. It's from their skin or something. So I got one made from lichens, and I can tell the difference just with one supplement. It's like, oh wow,
really? What are you taking?
Vitamin D3, vegan vitamin D3. It's made from lichens, you know, those kind of flowery mossy things that they have in cold areas on tundra and stuff like that. Yeah, that. Of course, they're twice as much, but, you know, well, that's how it goes.
Yeah. Wow, no, I didn't realize that lichen had that in it.
I didn't either. But I was worried that I'd be allergic to it, since I'm allergic to a lot of crap. No problem at all.
Wow. Well, you know, lanolin. Lanolin on your skin helps your skin to produce vitamin D. And vitamin
D. But I think because I'm allergic to it, that would be an issue.
How do you know that you're allergic to lanolin?
Because I can't. I was taking the vitamin D3, and that's all that was in that one, and I was having problems with it. I stay on top of everything I put in my gullet lately, because I've got allergies and shit like that. So I got to really be careful. So I'm really paying attention to what, you know, my reactions are to stuff. Like, I really was hoping I could use it, but apparently I'm really, really allergic to elderberry.
Elderberry, really?
Yeah, what a shame. So good for you.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess I'm kind of lucky. The only thing I found that I'm really allergic to is well, pharmaceuticals. No. They gave me some stuff for one time. They tried to get me to take for my cholesterol. And I've always resisted it. And
what
I broke
was it,
down
Lipitor,
and I took
some
it.
Crap like that.
Yeah. Started with an L. I took it for about a week, and then I called them and told them I'm not going to take it anymore. And I really don't have a super duper high cholesterol. But I try to eat a lot of meat, but I try to make it that it's has low fat in it. But anyway, the D3, I take that every day. I take 4,000 units of that every day.
Right. I should really take more. I think I'm taking 1,000.
Yeah.
Sometimes I take 2 of them a day.
The cheap laundry detergent, you know, really kind of gets me my allergies. That's about one of the few things that
I've actually, believe it or not, Mitch, and I'm allergic to all that shit, Tide, Cheer, and all that other stuff. The ones they have over at the Dollar Tree that are a dollar, no problems. Stupid thing lasts for like 6 weeks for a dollar.
Yeah,
and it works just great. All the other crap's made in China too. The only difference is you're paying $9 for it, probably more than that even if you're buying liquid. But anyway, yeah. And here's another thing. I don't mean to be plugging shit that no one's getting paid for, but when you're that good, sometimes you gotta. There's a place called Healthy Traditions, and they all the food that they have. No glyphosate. They test everything to make sure that it doesn't have that in it. They have oats from Italy that are all natural, no GMOs and shit like that. And they have beef and pork and chicken, and they're all the beef's all grass fed and no soy and no. Darn it, something else that they always give livestock. No corn.
Yeah.
So
wow.
I bought some stuff from them. I got a gallon of red palm oil. I'm using a tablespoon of that a day. In a few months, it's supposed to heal my optic nerves just a little bit. I'm a little too old for it to be as effective as it would be if I were an infant, but I don't know, like about 51 years out of date for that. So, yeah. So I'll take it. And it seems to be helping. It's a mild diuretic. It really does gently clean your system out. And even though having to buy a gallon of it and having to measure a tablespoon of it every day is a big pain in the butt, it totally does work.
And you can always, you know, you could always put some in a smaller container that, you know, that'll measure out a teaspoon and then
yeah,
take it,
I know,
you know,
but I'm a I don't see well and I'm a klutz.
John Wayne sent a note here on Skype that said that he said he can't come on the air right now, but he wanted to mention that hospitals are using facial recognition tablets to scan your face and take your temperature at the same time. And
great, no privacy violation here.
So they're essentially creating the database with the Department of Homeland Security. 5:30. Who is this? We had just had another caller join us.
Oh, this is you. This is Mitzi.
I'll be me.
Hey, Mitzi.
I gotta turn the
okay, the audio. All right.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But hey. Mitzi had some things. Go ahead, Fred.
I was hoping Mitzi would come into the call, as a matter of
fact.
Yeah,
she's here now. Wait
yeah,
for
hi.
there she is. And Sal.
I don't know if somebody else was talking. If you want to finish up, I'm good. I can hang out.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm really interested in your conversation here. It's good because it's there's a lot of sort of. I like it when there is solution-based conversation because it's so boring. This whole, you know, we're just keep going round and round on their little, you know, rat, whatever cage thing. But yeah. So I live in Northern California, and I've been seeing, you know, for years we've been used as guinea pigs for these directed energy weapons to light and continue these fires up here and to burning down whole towns and stuff, which is completely not a wildfire, and they bill it as a wildfire. It's just complete BS. But anyhow, so now it feels like they are using this some kind of weaponry to target people because whole sort of like neighborhoods are kind of coming down with stuff. And what I've seen, and I've done some investigating and stuff on electricity poisoning, and it's right up that alley, this whole COVID thing. It's, you know, the general symptoms are like extreme fatigue. Some people get bad headaches, like this feeling of really almost like existential anxiety. Like there's no one person. So I'm an acupuncturist and an herbalist, and I have a practice where I do.
Oh, like being married.
What's that? Well, I have a practice
like being married.
Married? Oh yeah, yeah. The symptoms, yeah, something like that.
That's a different kind
of. No, but anyway, yeah, I've been practicing natural medicine as my, you know, main way of being in the world for, you know, 40 years. But anyhow, so what I've been seeing is that people are like one person got she saw the electricity at nighttime. It was like 10:30 at night. And she, all of a sudden, she was trying to fall asleep, and just it came on. All of a sudden, she got this really bad headache, and her she was just really nervous, really anxious, and she felt like this buzzing all through her. And there were actually, she looked around, and she heard this vibrating, and she looked at the power strips in her room, and there was two of them with the little red lights on them, and they were both vibrating like on the floor. And the lights in those power strips were vibrating also. They weren't staying solid red. And so she got up. She had no idea what was going on. She was really scared. And she got up and she looked out the back window. And there was these sheets of light. Like she could see this energy sort of like she described it as sheets of light and kind of like going up and down from the earth up to the sky. And then she looked, there was a power strip in that room that where she went to look out the window, and it also was vibrating the light and everything. And then she just got really, really sick after that. She finally came in to see me last week. And then so there's been a bunch of people in that town who got sick with the same sort of things. But what she said was she mentioned the word zombie. She felt like totally no energy, no interest in food, no interest in taking care of herself, not interested in doing anything. Like she used the word, and she's not a conspiracy kind of a person who talks like this usually. She said that she felt like somebody just took her mind. She took her will and stuff. And so I've been making a list of things that I see, and I actually got sick myself because I was actually there in that town talking to some people who lived right on the same block as her who also got very sick. One guy ended up in the hospital, and I think I got hit because I got sick too. So basically, it's like a lot of nausea, stomach aches, not wanting to eat, stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of this stuff, it's really, so somebody mentioned cholesterol in the chat room. I hope I can go on a bit here. But what I've seen in this whole weaponization of food is that over a long period of time, this whole heart healthy diet thing has been a complete lie. Okay, so because every single cell in our bodies is sheathed in cholesterol. Like cholesterol is our friend. We need cholesterol. It's a total lie. There is not one study, nobody, you cannot find a study. It's just like the COVID. You can't find the studies that relate cholesterol with heart disease at all. So That story was given to us and propagated by industry for a reason. And I believe that this reason we are now seeing very clearly, that people two or three generations now down the line have been eating low cholesterol diets and been on statin drugs. You know, they've been wanting to put kids on statin drugs. They have been putting, you know, obese kids. People get obese because they don't eat enough fat. You know, farmers who have pigs, or dairy farmers, they always have pigs because they give them the non-fat milk. When they skim the milk off of the cream, I mean, out of the milk, they have this non-fat milk. They give it to the pigs to fatten them up. And that's the truth. If you know any farmers, that's what they do. So anyway, we got all these fat people from not eating enough fat, and very sick, because all of, you know, most people, I would probably say most of the population now has very weak cell walls on a systemic, you know, constitutional level. All of their cell walls are weak because of non-fat or low-fat diets for all these generations, you know, one or two generations now.
Right? See, the statins are proven to shrink the brain. I mean, that's
Brain.
And you know, what makes a better zombie slave than a smaller human?
Oh yeah, and then you know, in Chinese medicine, they say that the mind is in the blood. So if the blood, that's everywhere. So our mind is everywhere in our body. We have intelligence. Our bodies are so intelligent, and then it's all weakened on a systemic level. And now they
come
in.
May I please ask you a question?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to know if you know of any good fat sources that are not from meat, because I'm thinking about cutting that out of my diet soon.
Well, I don't think you should. Okay, so look at the Tavistock Institute. Have you seen that book? Have you read the book or heard about it? It's like,
no,
I
don't know anything about this.
Okay, so the Tavistock Institute was in London, and I think it was like the 30s or the 40s or something. Could have been the 50s, but anyhow, there's a book called the Tavistock Institute, and it's a think tank that started with the whole social engineering thing. And in the very beginning of that book, the very first thing that they did as one of these think tanks that's like looking at how do we socially engineer to weaken these people and control these people, very first thing was get them off of meat products and get them onto whole wheat products. Now, why did they do that? There's a reason, a really good reason for them. But
because wheat is essentially sugar.
Well, plus whole wheat, nobody in any traditional cultures uses the whole grain. Nobody. They take the chaff off. Even birds, when you give them like millet and stuff, they'll peck it out and just eat the inside. You notice that? So, because there's a toxin that occurs naturally in grains, okay? And it's a natural toxin, but it's a protective. The grain is the reproductive part of the plant. And so it creates a natural, like a fungicide, to protect the plant from fungus and things like that, right? And if you don't denature that natural chemical that occurs, it's called phytic acid. Like traditional cultures have always soured everything. And they always, like China, India, all these places that eat rice, they don't eat brown rice. They eat white rice. There's a reason for that. And it's because of this phytic acid, because they know that brown rice is actually dangerous for you if you don't correctly cook it. So all of this stuff, like we have been driven away from our traditions of our grandparents of how to cook properly. And to also, it's like a weaponization of food. And we've gone away from souring foods. Everything's real fast now. And there's all these problems with gluten, and the list goes on. But because people have forgotten how to cook properly, how to prepare foods properly. All traditions everywhere around this planet, everywhere. There is a doctor in the 40s named Weston Price, OK? okay? I talk a lot about this on my show. But he went around the world in the 30s and the 40s and checked out all these traditional, these cultures that were still eating the traditional way, like in the old ways, the ways their ancestors ate. And they all had these principles of eating. One of them was they really venerated, I'm talking sacred foods, is animal fat. Okay, so like in Germany and Switzerland and the Alps, you know, they went to little villages that didn't have any roads in them where they were still eating all the old ways, and fat like dairy fat, the butter from springtime when the cows were eating fresh grass, that was considered sacred food. And there was different kinds of fats around the world. Here where I live is the salmon oil. Sacred food. They gave it to their children when they were becoming coming into their childbearing years, for sure. Everywhere around the world. And here we are trying to lower our fat. My show is called, it's on Sundays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's Bridget's Well. And yeah, so I talk about food, and I talk about traditional foods, and how food's been weaponized, and so, yeah, and the reason I even started a show is because I heard, you know, gentlemen like you guys talking about these things that we're trying to expose, and then, but see, everybody's getting led down this road of low-fat stuff and wiping out the meat. See, this is why they want everybody on that, like, you know, the vegan diets and stuff. I mean, the governments are subsidizing all these Blue City events and stuff where they're trying to get people on plant-based diets. Nobody around the world, this guy, Weston Price, who was a dentist, he went around, he thought he was going to find a vegetarian culture that was like these super healthy people and da-da-da, but he never found it. But what he did find was these principles of eating where any grains that got eaten were soured. They were soaked for long periods of time and soured and then cooked. There is a lot of fermented foods, like fermented dairy foods, yogurt, kefir, in, you know, the Middle East and stuff, the kefir and all that, and all porridges.
You better get to wrapping it up. We're all almost out of time.
Okay,
here.
Sorry.
You guys might want.
Okay.
Don't be sorry. It's been great. I want to listen to your show on Sunday. Thank you.
All right.
I'll be there.
Well, thanks for having me on, you guys. That was
I've got a question though, Mitzi, before you get off. One of the people posted that they were fixing lacto ferment hot purple pepper and carrots. I didn't know you could lacto ferment peppers and carrots.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you can. It's just like making sauerkraut or pickles. I do it all the time. I talk about that stuff on my show. In fact, I just went and saw somebody who comes into the chat room is actually a neighbor of mine, and I went to his house, and they had lacto fermented kale. And it was really good. So I hate kale. I grow it for my chickens. But but I'm going to try lacto fermenting it. It's really good. And we, you know, if you come on to my show, let me know you're there. I can go over how to do it. It is so easy. All it is water and salt and vegetables and whatever kind of spices you want to use.
I found
it's so easy.
But
Revolution Radio.
Ah.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
Oh, no, of course.